5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast. The reason why I use the word amazing is not because I'm amazing or Angel's amazing, but because you guys are amazing. You cancer survivors / thrivers, you guys are absolutely the bomb. We cannot tell you how worthy and awesome you are. We dedicate this 30 minutes to you every week on the Croc podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, I could not be more excited.
You know, it doesn't even have to say that today is March 10th. You don't have to even think about the fact that it was birthday yesterday. Today feels like the Croc Nation's birthday because we have a amazing guest here with us. And I don't want to steal your thunder, Dr. E, because I know you have something prepared, but I just want everybody to know, make sure that you definitely strap on your seatbelts. Make sure those tray tables are in upright positions, because today is going to be one of the greatest rides ever on the Croc Nation airline. Let's go.
Angel, you're not just whistling Dixie. I'll tell you that. Today is going to be fantastic. And the reason why is that you and I were sort of talking offline and we were saying, you know, we haven't had a guest on in a while and we're getting a bit stale and we need to have a guest. So, you know, I'm thinking who, you know, we're going to get Len on in a couple of weeks, our old dear friend from University of Texas and blah, 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 blah. And I say to myself, we need some new blood on this podcast. We need something that's going to really give us some, you know, pizzazz. We need to really get the fireworks going. And I'm walking through the clinic and I see this journal called Cancer Health. And I look at Cancer Health and I'm looking at this guy on the cover who looks a lot like me, actually, this handsome, older, bearded man. And I say, wow, what? Maybe there's something in here that'll attract me. And of course, what does my eye go to? It says, what does a cancer doula do? And I say to myself, I know what a maternity doula is, and I know what a death doula is, but I do not know what a cancer doula is. And then I open up the magazine and I see absolutely this angelic, beautiful creature, Talia Dendi from Minneapolis, one of my favorite American cities. And then I start to read and I say, wow, this would be fantastic. What a great guest. And Angel, you know, I don't have many talents, but one of my greatest talents is to embarrass our guests. And that's exactly what I'm going to do tonight.
I knew
ladies
it.
And gentlemen, cancer thrivers, survivors throughout the world. And I believe we're number one in India, I think, Angel. So all of our friends in India who are listening today, I have to tell you, every time that I think I know everything, God comes down and absolutely has a laugh at my expense. So I start reading this little journal and I speak to this amazing, humble, wonderful spiritual person, and we're getting to know each other. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, I'm going to drive this podcast because, you know, this is the Croc podcast, right? There's no other podcast out there except for the Croc podcast. And lo and behold, of course, doing my due diligence, I'm researching. And oh my God, Angel, this is not just an all-star guest. This is not just a Hall of Fame guest. I want to tell you something. Talia, number one, is a cancer thriver, 12 years from lymphoma, number one. Number two is an amazing cancer advocate, doula, and board certified advocate, as a matter of fact, for cancer patients, survivors / thrivers. And then I got to YouTube. Then basically the entire world exploded. Talia, I'm starting from 4 years ago, your first podcast, when you taught us about three things and you're wearing your Minnesota Lynx lime, like electric green t-shirt, telling us about your life, you know, and you know, giving us some hints. And Talia, what growth from that first podcast 4 years ago. I'm going and going through and I'm learning about watermelon and dry mouth. I'm learning about just about everything you could think about. so many of the things that you've addressed over the last 4 years, I've thought of some of the stuff we've done that you've already done. And then all of a sudden, everything came crashing down. You broke my heart because you had another radiation oncologist on your podcast before me. Not only did you have Dr. EB on your podcast, Dr. EB is probably like now my new hero, and I need to meet her, and you have to connect us because we're both of the same ilk. So without further ado, now that Angel, we've embarrassed the heck out of her, Talaya Dendi, welcome to the Proc Podcast.
Oh my goodness, Tom. Thank you so much. Like, I have been trying not to let my laugh out for the longest. That is one of the best introductions I've ever had. Thank you so much. Like, I'm almost in tears laughing because it's just so joyful. And I so appreciate the work that you did to really learn about my journey, not just with cancer, but my professional journey as well. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And just a wonderful intro. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So, and it was from my heart, and I hope you felt it. And I also want to tell you that I'm going to embarrass you one more last time, and then we're going to get to work. The growth of you as a podcaster over 4 years is incredible, number one. You are professional. You are composed. You are intelligent. Your message is spot on, important. The work you're doing is crucial. The guests you have are unbelievable. As a matter of fact, you invited me to your podcast. After I saw the people on your podcast, I'm not going on your podcast because I don't want to embarrass your podcast going on with some of these people. Angel, this lady is the real deal.
You know what? So and that's a blessing. That's a true blessing.
And the other thing I want to say, Talaya, honestly, with all kidding aside, you also did one other thing for me. You actually, Angel and I, we do this every week, and this is our fourth season. I'm happy to report. But I will say, thank you. But I will say that sometimes you have to kind of sit back and take stock of what you're trying to do. And, having seen, your podcast and gone through all your podcasts, I said to myself, we have so many similarities with Talaya. There's so many subjects that we both at the same time kind of hit on. And you want to hear something really actually bizarre, but it doesn't, like, there are no coincidences, right, Angel? With our creator, with our Lord. But I will say that the challenge to me was to make sure to reinforce that what we were doing was going to be appropriate and meaningful for our survivor thrivers. And I've come to the conclusion that what I think we probably do best, being that we're in the business on the medical side, on the caregiver side, is to recognize the broken system and to basically tell everyone that the emperor doesn't have clothes, and to kind of, I don't want to say rat out the medical community, but challenge the medical community to do better, because we can do better and we have to do better for our survivor thrivers. So Talaya, thank you very much for all of those gifts you gave us.
Thank you so much. And congratulations on 4 years. That is huge. And I love your podcast, by the way, as well. A lot of great information. And it's so touching that it's coming from a doctor who gets it. So thank you for everything that you do, Tom.
Excellent. Without further ado, cancer doula. So, the first question that I'm going to ask, and you actually had a few podcasts in the beginning, basically, what the heck is a cancer doula? There were a couple of others that I saw, the doula and the dancer, right? So there's a lot of stuff going on here. So why don't you tell us, from my doula style, from that April, from when you were diagnosed through your treatment, and then how you came, to become an advocate, to become a doula.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question, Tom. So I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in April of 2011. And I actually went through a whole series of events before actually getting the diagnosis. So I will take you back to 2010, about March, April of 2010. And I had went to visit my primary care doctor. It was time for an annual exam. And after the exam, I pointed out a lump on the side of my neck. It wasn't a huge lump, but it had probably been there about maybe 2 weeks by that time. And pointed out to my primary care physician, she basically just blew it off. Oh, you know, you work out a lot. It's probably just a pulled muscle. Don't worry about it. Well, during that time, I was very focused on climbing the corporate ladder, doing all the things that society says you need to do. And I just kind of let it go. Well, mind you, a year later, it didn't go anywhere. It was actually bigger and harder. And I knew something was wrong. I knew, but I did not suspect cancer. And so, you know, I was telling my mom about it. I said, you know, I'm really concerned. I don't know what's going on. But this lump, I've had it there for a while, about a year. And I said, my doctor just really did not seem to be too concerned. She didn't look at it. She didn't ask any questions. And so my mom suggested that I go to a different doctor. So I went to this new doctor. It was a year later, so time for another physical exam, did the exam. And again, I pointed it out to this new doctor. Her response was a total 360. She touched it. She looked at it. She asked questions. She seemed really concerned. And so she, you know, was looking at it. And when she touched it, I noticed something changed in her whole demeanor. And she said, you know, Talia, right away, I want you to go in for an ultrasound as soon as possible. Mind you, I had just started a new job, probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks prior. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can't take time off from work. I don't want to lose my new job. I'm like, boy, yeah, this is not going well. So go in a couple of days later for an ultrasound. That ultrasound came back inconclusive. However, I could tell there was something going on by the technician's face. Once again, her demeanor. And I said, you know, is there anything that you can tell me? And she said, you know, honey, the doctor's going to reach out to you with more information. I really don't have anything to share. So got a call a couple days later, and I was told that I needed to go in for a fine needle aspiration. That is where they take a small sample of the tissue and cells from that area or that lymph node. Unfortunately, that came back inconclusive because they did not get a big enough sample size. So here we go again. I'm told that I need to have a biopsy of that lymph node. So about a week later, went in for a biopsy. They did not take the whole lymph node, but they took a rather large portion of it, tested that. Probably about 3 days later, which happened to land on a Friday when I was driving on my way home from work to go home, enjoy the weekend. Well, I get a call and it was the nurse. And she said, honey, I'm so sorry to tell you, but your test came back and you have Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mind you, I'm driving, but I'm hands-free. And so I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I got to pull over. And so I just found a residential street to pull over on. And I said, what? What is that? And I just fired off probably about, seemed like 50 questions. And it probably seemed like more to her. And she stopped me. And she once, honey, I'm so sorry. You have to talk with your doctor. Call the clinic on Monday. Here's the number. Get your appointment set up. But what I can tell you is that my husband had Hodgkin's lymphoma several years ago, and he's doing great today. And I wish you the best. So gathered myself to be able to drive close to TJ Maxx, which was not very far away. got out of my car, just walked around TJ Maxx for about 30 minutes because I'm just replaying and replaying what I just heard. And I'm also looking for answers. I knew they weren't in TJ Maxx, but I'm like, I need somebody to tell me something. And so I get myself together. I call my family when I get home and I let them know the news that I had just received. Of course, they had a lot of questions. I couldn't answer those questions. And so I explained to them that, I'm sorry, you have a lot of questions. So do I. I don't have any answers for you. But what I need for you to do for me is just give me a little space this weekend and let me just really think about what I just learned. And thankfully, they did that. So I took the weekend to pray. I cried. I was angry. I think I went through every emotion possible during that weekend. But it's one of the best things that I could have done because it allowed me to release all of those things, all of that negative, heavy energy, all of that fear. And it allowed me to take action that Monday morning and call and get connected with the oncologist and start getting appointments lined up. And so, my cancer journey, thankfully, I was blessed with a wonderful oncologist, someone who really respected me, seen me as a partner, heard everything that I had to say, answered every question. However, there were still a lot of gaps in my care. And by that, I mean, there was no one to talk to who had been through something similar. There was no one that I could go to say, hey, what was it like for you when you had Hodgkin's lymphoma? What can I expect when I go to my first chemotherapy infusion? What is it like to prepare for radiation? What are some of the side effects that you experience? There was no one. And so I actually went to a support group. Unfortunately, that did not work for me. I was the youngest person there. I was the only Black person there. And everyone there was so negative. But I had decided already when I got the news that I was going to do whatever I needed to do to live. And so my cells, my immune system, my body, we were all in agreement. They're yelling, like, get us out of here. And so I exited about 15 minutes after being there. And I said, wow, it just doesn't seem like there's anyone that gets what I'm going through. And so instead of just, feeling pity and frustration, I started researching and learning about how can I help myself. And so I started learning about mind-body connection, different modalities like meditation. I was already journaling, but learning how to really utilize that to get in tune with my emotions. I continue to exercise and do all these things. I continue to learn about the type of cancer. Once I got through treatment and everything, and a few years after my diagnosis and treatment, there was this calling. And I had already knew because before cancer, I wasn't that happy in corporate America, but I was doing what society says I was supposed to do. Go to college, get a great job, earn a great living. But there was always something that was like, this is not it. There has to be more. And that didn't go away. It actually intensified after my experience with cancer. And so I really listened and I tapped into it. And I knew that I was a helper. I always knew that I was a teacher. I actually wanted to be a teacher when I was a child. And so I just was like, other people must be experiencing what I experienced. And I just thought about it. And I said, first, I started off and I said, well, maybe I should look into cancer coaching or supporting people with cancer. I didn't really care for the word coach because it was everywhere, coach this, coach that. And it really didn't carry the weight of what I really wanted to do for the people that one day I would be supporting. And so I just started researching other supportive words like doula. And I came across birth doula. And I said, let me just really dissect that. And I dissected the word doula, and in its simplest form, it means someone who supports another person through a major life change or significant health-related experience. Major life change, significant health-related experience. Yep, that's definitely cancer for you. And so I said, that's what I'm going to say. Cancer doula. No one knows what the heck it is, but I'm going to say it and I'm going to educate people on it. And I like to make this reference. A birth doula is someone who supports another person. A birth doula is the beginning of life. They help bring life into the world. Death doula, end of life. They help people transition. And as a cancer doula, I work with my clients to focus on the present, to help them face this thing called cancer in front of them and get on the other side of it. Because, you know, they get to choose what kind of life they want to live. You know, now more than ever, when you get that diagnosis, it's time to focus on why. What are your reasons for wanting to live?
Absolutely. I want to kind of put a little bookmark there and go a little backwards before we go forwards. So Angel, that story, profound, really, you know, puts a hole in my heart, because I have to be honest with you. We have to continue this, what we're doing, because there were so many things that that were done incorrectly, and I'll explain. So from the medical side, so from the caregiver side, I am appalled that the culture continues and remains just to be a good doctor, just to be a good nurse, just to make sure that Talia gets the proper treatment and gets cured from their cancer. Like, that's your job, right? That's it. The answer to that is no, that's not your job. That's part of your job. A small, actually, I won't say a small part of your job, but that's only a portion of your job. Your job is to recognize that you're not a 9-to-5 punch a clock kind of person. If you want to be an oncologist, if you want to be a cancer survivor slash thriver caregiver, then that mentality has to go out the window. You cannot give a survivor thriver a diagnosis of cancer on a Friday night when they're driving home from work without any support. You can say, Talia, you need to come in tomorrow. Your doctor's going to meet you in the clinic. They might be wearing tennis shoes, but they'll be there and they're going to go through, you know, what Hodgkin's is. And they're going to tell you that they're going to take care of you. They're going to tell you how they're going to take care of you. They're going to answer your questions. If you want to have one of your family members present or on the phone or whatever, terrific. Not a problem. And here are the support systems that you have available to you. I will not hang up my microphone until that day comes. And I have a feeling, Angel, that that whole cancer doula role might be that bridge that's missing, you know, between the providers and the survivor slash thrivers. Talia, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That is correct, Tom, because that's what I say. I bridge the gap between the medical and emotional sides of cancer. Cancer patients just want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to be respected, and they want guidance. They want answers. No matter how grim the answers are, they want to know, because that's how you make the best decision for your life, for your family. And so it's critical.
Absolutely. But also they want to know on their time, at their convenience, not at the convenience of a 9-to-5 clinic. That's, I think that's right. Really important.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this, but I'm trying to get to have the caregivers, you know, give their numbers or be available after hours and to be able to answer the questions that they need to have answered. And to be honest with you, I have the most delightful talks after work on the weekends at night, because you know why? There's not 50 people that are running after me, you know, to sign something or to, you know, to get a question answered or whatever, some kind of an emergency. You could actually concentrate, you know, on that person. And when you get an on-call oncologist who doesn't know your case, they pass the buck. They say, you know, I'm sorry, Talia, I don't know your case. Doesn't sound like you have an emergency. Mm-hmm. This could wait till Monday. But you know what? What if it was you, Angel? If it was a family member, you wouldn't want to wait till she had to wait. She had to go to TJ Maxx, she went to TJ Maxx. She just needed a place, like, to be safe, you know.
Yeah, and I'm literally I was sick to my stomach, you know, a little bit. I had that pit in the stomach while she was describing that. I'm gonna save what I have, what I have for her at the end, because you know me, I always like to try to get that last piece out. But
yeah, no, you Angel, you always get the last word. You know that. Talia, I wanted to ask you also about cancer doula support and why it's important for our survivor thrivers and for their families.
Yeah, so for all the reasons that I just explained, but then also to provide coping strategies for cancer patients and their loved ones, to provide information and education, to be a source of non-judgmental support, to help them understand their rights as a patient and how to navigate the healthcare system, so that advocacy piece, and then also helping them to set realistic goals. One thing that was really hard for me, Tom, was when I started treatment. And after the first one, I'm like, I got this. I can do it. But those treatments compound. And so by month three, I'm like, ooh, this is a different feeling. I have to slow down. But no one really warned me about that. You know, so setting those realistic goals, whether they're physical goals, whether they're work goals, whatever, you know, and then also providing personalized care for them, helping them to create their plans for their well-being. What is well-being? How do you nurture it? We throw out these words that a lot of people don't really know what those mean at their core. And then also helping them to communicate with the healthcare system and their providers, helping them to make informed decisions and gather that information, credible information that they need to make those decisions. And then also, you know, helping them to maintain hope and optimism. You know, of course, there's going to be those tough days, those bad days where you just don't feel so positive. And that's perfectly fine. No one is ever positive all the time. The goal is to not get stuck there. It's to work your way through those emotions and really learn how to tap into your body. What is your body telling you? So understanding that mind-body connection, not pushing yourself, you know, to do and be all these things when your body's saying, I need rest, it's okay. And so those are some of the things that I work on with, you know, cancer patients and their caregivers. And those are things that no one talks about. Those are things that no one really thinks about. It's just getting that person treated for cancer. But there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes.
And I was going to say that, you know, what a service that you provide. And I'm assuming there are other cancer doulas out there. And I don't know if you've connected with them or if there's an association of you guys. But I will say, I wish there was an opportunity or an ability where how could a patient, and not just my patient, because, you know, every single one of my patients now is going to get an on the other side card from me. But all kidding, and I mean that seriously, but because of how important your work is, but how would a person who's not, like, you know, Angel and I, that's what we do, right? We do survivorship, we do cancer survivor advocacy, you know, and information and education as you do. But even we didn't know, you know, about this service. So how would, you know, how could we get, you know, your service or services like you, advocacy services, to become part of the mainstream?
Okay, so first I'll go back and address something that you just said. When I started this, I didn't know of any other cancer doulas. It was something that I created out of a need that I had. And so I wanted to fulfill that need. Now I'm seeing other people who are calling themselves cancer doulas. I have not connected with them. They have not reached out to me. But everyone does it different too. And so to answer your question, I think that the healthcare system itself needs to be more open and receptive to people who are doing these kinds of things outside of their system. I can honestly tell you, Tom, how many, I think I went to every hospital and clinic in the Twin Cities when I first started this, and no one wanted to talk to me. Still today, a lot of them don't. Mayo Clinic is not that far away, and I have knocked on their door numerous times, and they I'm not part of their system. So I think that having an open mind and not being so just focused on the system piece, it needs to be focused on the holistic care piece, caring for the patient, what's best for the patient piece. As you know, there's just a lot of red tape. And I was told that, you know, we have to be careful of what we let people come in and say and do and all those things. And I get that. But I think just being more open-minded, because things are changing. People are waking up and they're understanding that it's not just about treating the cancer. Patients want more than the standard, you know, cancer treatment. Here's a brochure. Go down the hall and talk to your social worker if there happens to be one. And so, just being open-minded and really, really wanting what's best for the patient and focusing on that coordinated care.
Oh my God, absolutely. And I'm gonna intertwine a personal story to support, you know, your frustration. Angel, you don't even know the story. So the Croc podcast is just one small tip of the iceberg. So you know, Croc stands for Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer. And quite frankly, this is our 25th year of advocacy. So in 1999, when we started, when I had hair and my hair actually had color, there was nothing out there. It was just tumbleweeds. And I put together, you know, based on an observation, like your first podcast on the three, you know, three things, the three important things. Mine was the waiting room. And what I did was I noticed the power between survivors. So in the waiting room, how people from different walks of life, completely different. As a matter of fact, these two women couldn't be any more different. You know, established a friendship, and then, you know, they finished on the last day. I took them out to lunch, and just observing them, the power between those two survivor thrivers is what began this organization, this advocacy for survivor slash thrivers. And I remember getting to the point within our first 10 years. When we were doing monthly meetings, and we would go to a lot, and this is before social media, before anything, and we went to a local restaurant, we would rent a room, we'd throw out some pizzas and whatever, and we'd have a lecture, we would have an activity, we would have, you know, music or whatever it was. And the thought process was to just get our thrivers in a room where they can sort of be together and collaborate and gain information. And I pitched this to our medical system at the time. And I said, "Hey guys, I'm on to something. There's something very powerful here. And I'd like to collaborate with you guys because you guys are the hospital. You guys have, you know, power, you know, being the organization." And they said, "Thanks, but no thanks. We're going to do it ourselves." And they did it so poorly. And they did it so bush league. I think for their support meetings, I think four people came, and I think they maybe they had stale cookies and cold coffee. So I think that when, you know, you try to collaborate, you know, everyone thinks they know everything. And listen, Mayo Clinic is the Mayo Clinic. Much respect to the Mayo Clinic and places like the Mayo Clinic. But you know what? Some on the softer side of things, you know, our survivor thrivers have needs that are not being met. And I think that your services, Talaya, are exactly, Talaya, I'm sorry, are exactly what are needed. So I also wanted to ask you another question about, you and I had talked offline about the cancer diagnosis and that sort of grim albatross around the survivor thriver's neck about cancer and death, and how, your work is to actually change that perception of cancer being equated with a dark, a grave and an end of life situation.
Yes. Thanks, Tom, for bringing that up. I think it's so important because how you start can, in some cases, determine how you finish. And if you start thinking about, oh, I'm going to die, this thing is just taking my life, that's probably not the best way to look at it. Yes, there's that possibility. However, now more than ever, there are more people who are surviving and living with cancer or living in remission with cancer. And I'd like to encourage people that when you get that diagnosis, yes, there's going to be fear, there's going to be uncertainty, there's going to be all these things. However, feel those things, but then say, what is my why? What reasons do I have to live? Is it your children? Is it your grandchildren? Is it a legacy that you're working on that you want to leave behind? Really hone in on those things and use that as fuel to drive you through this. Every day, focus on your why, and don't focus on that, that you're going to die. Now, some people do get terminal cancer diagnosis. However, God has a final word. There have been people that have been told they're going to die in 3 months and they're still here. You just don't know. And so don't focus on the death piece. Yes, everybody should have their affairs in order because we could die just getting in our car. Who knows? But when you get that diagnosis, don't let that be the first thing that you go to. Try not to let that consume you. Focus on what reasons do I have to live? That's going to be your hope. That's going to be your anchor to, really get you grounded mentally and physically.
Absolutely. And Angel, I think that we do a lot of work. Talaya, correct me if I'm wrong. To your point, one of the things that I've learned, not as a survivor thriver, but as a doctor, is that cancer is a word, and it's so unfortunately powerful and equated to death. And what we do on the Croc podcast is we make sure we let everyone know that everyone has to die, not just someone who has cancer. And there are so many people who don't realize that the people that they, I want to say that they're maybe jealous of, they, this person doesn't, most of these people will die before they die for whatever reason. And I use the analogy of, a woman gets admitted to the hospital for surgery for a stage one breast cancer, and a 56-year-old gentleman gets admitted for a heart attack, and they both leave the hospital at the same time. My question always is, who's going to be the one that's going to be driving to the cemetery to buy a plot, and who's going to go over to Popeyes to buy a chicken sandwich? And the answer is that the guy who just had the heart attack has a statistically significantly higher risk of dying first, as opposed to the 50-year-old woman with breast cancer. But it's the breast cancer survivor that goes to the cemetery plot, and it's the heart attack victim that goes to Popeyes for the chicken sandwich. So it's really, really important. The words you say are so true that we have to kind of take that culture of death out of the cancer, this whole, our whole, I guess,
The sphere of it,
schema,
yeah.
oh, right, the whole schema of cancer, and we have to change it. And thank you for saying that. I also am a big believer in survivorship plans, and we do a lot of them in our clinic. And I specialize actually in thyroid cancer, believe it or not. So I do a lot of thyroid cancer survivorship planning. But tell me, as far as from the doula side, about your cancer survivorship planning.
Yeah, so for me, thankfully in 2011, my oncologist gave me a survivorship care plan. And over the years, I've learned that today in 2024, many people still don't know what that is. Many people don't know to ask for one. And a lot of hospitals and clinics or oncology or cancer centers, not everyone is giving those to patients. And what I've also learned is that if a patient happens to be older, let's just say 60 up, 60 plus, they're less likely to get a survivorship care plan because the thought is, well, how much longer are they going to live anyway? Well, that's not right. A survivorship care plan is so important because the thriver, the survivor, they need to know what's next. What appointments do I need to stay on top of? How frequently? What are some things not related to cancer that I need to be aware of because of the treatment that I've received? So, for example, I need to make sure I pay attention to my heart. I need to make sure that I, maintain a healthy weight. There's so many things that I need to make sure that I do as someone who has received cancer treatment. And to me, that helps the survivor thriver to really take charge of their health after the treatment's done, but it's also a way to hold the healthcare system accountable and say, hey, these are things that I need to have done. I may not be exactly sure who to talk to, but who can I go to for this test or to check this? This is what this is telling me to do 3 years out from my treatment. And so I found, and even for me, just having this as a reference, it's not an end all be all. It doesn't have everything, but it's a guide. Because a lot of times, as you know, Tom, when the treatment stops, everything's quiet and no one's around. And so you're trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to be doing now? I was seeing doctors like once a week, once every 2 weeks. Now I don't know what to do. And so this plan can serve as a guide. And again, it's not the answer to everything, but it gives the survivor thriver some sense of direction and things they need to look out for in terms of their health.
Which is a great segue to for me to talk a little bit about On the Other Side. So On the Other Side, that is your creation, as is actually the model of a cancer doula. Having a pioneer, on our podcast, yet another prideful moment for us to thank you for that. But On the Other Side, I'm assuming meaning after your diagnosis, after your treatment, into your survivorship. Again, back to my observation where the tumbleweeds and there's nothing there for you or whatever. So tell us a little bit about On the Other Side, how you came up with it, how you implemented it, et cetera.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. So, Tom, as we discussed, people typically associate on the other side with death, and that's what they associate cancer with. But I'm flipping the script and I'm saying on the other side of cancer, there's life. My website is on the other side dot life, on the other side dot life. That means that yes, when you get through your cancer treatment, you're on your journey, there's life on the other side of cancer. And you get to decide what that life looks like. While you are taking care of yourself and healing, that's the time to focus on the quality of life that you want. Because guess what? You deserve that, especially since you've gone through such a tough time with cancer on your cancer journey. Why not focus on creating the quality of life that you desire? And so, on the other side, again, means on the other side of cancer, there is life. It's not over.
Beautiful. And did that cut? Now, this is about four, is it 4 years on the other side or even further back than that?
Yes. You know, Tom, I actually started it on paper, believe it or not. I had gotten my LLC and everything registered while I was still in corporate America in 2017. And I just kind of put it on the shelf, was just thinking, jotting things down here and there, because again, I was still focused on corporate. And at the end of 2018, I had said, I completed my coaching certification it's time for an exit. And so put together a plan to exit corporate America. I left right before the holidays, 2018, November 2018, regrouped, did some more planning in 2019. I just went full-fledged. And that's when I started visiting the hospitals and clinics trying to promote. And I've just been building since then.
Beautiful. And what growth. I mean, you know, again, what a beautiful moment now for me to tell everyone about your podcast, about On the Other Side. So what looks to me, and again, you could correct me, as sort of experimenting, you know, small little snippets, you know, some advice and things like that. And then like to go full bore. I mean, we're talking about like high quality, like really professional and important things with amazing guests. You could see it build. It's almost like a beautiful piece of classical music that starts very slowly. And then it sort of builds and builds and builds and then crescendos. And then I'm looking now at the newest stuff coming up, you know, 2024, such beautiful things. And I think everything we talked about today, you know, and all of your visions really are directly manifested in the podcast. And I think that it's directly the tools you're trying to give to our thrivers and survivors are expressed through you, almost like you're channeling it right there for you. So it's almost like you're giving all of our survivor thrivers their survivorship plans through On the Other Side through your podcast. Does that sound accurate?
That's very accurate. And I so appreciate that you picked up on that. And I'll just share this, Tom. Actually, the videos that you saw early on, those were videos that I had done on my website On the Other Side. But I actually officially started a podcast in August of 2021 called Navigating Cancer Together. And that podcast was actually a spinoff of a group. I called them meet and greets that I was doing every month as a result of COVID, because so many people just felt extremely isolated, more so than they did before. And I would have these monthly virtual get-togethers, talking about a different topic every month, just bringing people together, bringing community together. Or I would have a professional come on, an expert, and talk about a particular topic. Well, as COVID was moving along and people were getting back into the world, getting back outside, attendance started to drop. So I said, I want to keep doing this, but I need to do it in a way that's convenient for people whenever. And so that's when I created Navigating Cancer Together. People can listen to it whenever they want, wherever they want. And that's how I keep the community going. And I just like to bring on so many different people from all walks of life, because anyone, I don't care how much you make, I don't care where you live, how old you are, anyone can get cancer.
Absolutely. And again, Angel and I are going to put this on our, you know, on our website and everything, but for this particular podcast, how could someone who might have an interest in learning about what you do, seeing some of these podcasts and videos, how can they access that?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So Tom, they can go to ontheotherside.life. Again, On the Other Side, that's one word, dot life, L-I-F-E. And actually, that's my website, but you'll see a tab as well that says podcast. And you can see all my podcast episodes. I think I have about 133 now. But then also there's a more tab, and they can go back and view some of those videos that you've mentioned, or they can actually go to my YouTube channel, which there's an icon on my website as well. And so they can access all of that information from my website.
And everybody, just want to let you know, Angel will also have all of Talaya's social media tags and everything, you know, on the identifiers, both for this podcast as well as on the website. Angel Santana, I know you don't feel the love right now, but you always get the last word, my brother. So please, I know you've been winding up, man. You're ready to, You're ready to go. So let's go, man. Let's hear what Angel Santana has to say.
Listen, first and foremost, I would like to just thank you for getting your story out there and being personal. I've always been a firm believer. Personal testimony is the strongest and the most efficient way to reach out to others, especially in their time of need. Croc Nation, I want to say one thing. Today, we were blessed to have a leader on this program. And when you hear the word leader, you cannot help but think about leadership. They say leadership is the ability to guide others without force into a direction or decision that leaves them still feeling empowered and accomplished. This is a young lady who is doing remarkable things. She is doing the work that I would like to point out that, in her words, after prayer, after struggle, after battling storms, she dusted herself off. She helped others while she needed help on her own. The Bible has said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Her door that she has opened is allowing others the ability to seek the answers that they well deserved. I want to thank you for doing that. And I know there is a plan for you, and that plan has endless amounts of paths to righteousness.
Thank you so much, Angel, for your kind words. And I received that. Thank you so much.
Angel, there are no words I can add to that as far as my gratitude, as far as my admiration, as far as my devotion to Talia and what she's doing. And I can tell you right now that now that we know where she lives, we will be stalking her and we will get her back on this podcast. And Angel, I would like you to even consider stalking her to get her on Have Faith, Let It Begin on your podcast, which is a wonderful daily commuter podcast of inspiration and spirituality. I think she'd be a great fit. So we're going to end this podcast the way we end every podcast. First, we'll start with a little pep talk. So you guys out there, you've just been diagnosed. You've been just been given that phone call. You're driving home Friday night. You've got cancer. Call the doctor on Monday. What do you do? How do you feel? Those feelings are just overwhelming and overpowering. You feel that you're going to die. You feel that you're alone. You feel completely terrified. You feel completely overwhelmed. You're in complete despair. Believe me when I tell you, you have the strength of Talia within you, within your spirit, and within your survivor's soul. There is a person, there is a soul that is going to, as Angel said, pick themselves up, pick you up, dust you off, and get you through until you're on the other side. And then when you're on the other side, I'm going to challenge you as the survivor thriver to be a leader, to take your experiences Talia did, and please try to give back all of the blessings you've received. And I believe that the examples of people like Talia are the stories that will empower you through your survivorship. I'm going to end as I end each podcast, wishing everyone out there a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.